This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The pandemic. Pictures from major cities, I'm looking at New York right now, show a slight concern for the pandemic. However, when you look at overseas, the United Kingdom, for example, London, the tube in a heat wave, no mask getting off of the tube. So where are we between London and New York? Where is the rest of the world on the pandemic? I welcome Chris Riegel, who's the CEO of Scholar.com. This is the Scholar Report. And first, we will flag where we believe we are with the pandemic and the recovery from the pandemic for the economy. And then we'll look at the future of office work, because that's part of the recovery story. Chris, a very good evening to you. Scholar is a global technology firm transforming the retail space. You've got business on all continents. I want to start now with the general understanding of the Omicron variants. There's one, there's 2.212, there's four, and there is now five. It's early days of reporting. They're all said to be transmissible, and the outcome is not disaster. But there are rising hospitalization rates in certain constituencies around the world. There are also concerns that the transmission is penetrating through vaccines and through those who have already had COVID and assume that they have immunity. Are you hearing from your workforce and your customers' workforces a new wave of Omicron 5 or something like it? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. We're certainly hearing of new waves, principally that are being spread at trade events or gatherings or other where people are gathering, and this is so highly transmissible, it just jumps from person to person. The new normal appears to be that we're going to have to simply just live with it. It's like a cold or a light flu. You're down for a couple of days and then back. The unknowns, however, are these new series of lockdowns that are impacting in China and how that may have supply chain disruption or other. It's still just a very week by week basis on how to try to manage any business.
You have business in London. You have business in the UK. I was stumped by what to say about all these young people pouring off an overcrowded tube. It's not air conditioned, the tube, in 90 degree weather, 33 degrees centigrade, and no masks. Is this something you've seen in other cities? Because all I have is the experience of New York.
Absolutely. Whether you call it mask fatigue or nanny state fatigue, I think that the general population, especially those that are less subject to significant risks, being the younger people, are saying this kind of is what it is, and we're not going to allow it to rule our lives. So they're moving past the fear of the virus at the current stage and just dealing with it day in, day out.
The recession, it's not here yet. Maybe it's not coming. Maybe this is waiting for a recession, like a farcical theater. But in any event, there is reporting from Wall Street that large firms are getting ready to disappoint their investor class, especially banks. Now, recovery is many angles of this. We had a very high inflation number, surprisingly high inflation number, in these last hours, 9.1%, matching the inflation number they had in London a couple of weeks past. Where do you measure we are in the economic recovery from the pandemic?
I would say that we are most likely in a recession that's going to be relatively severe. This recession probably mostly being brought on by energy costs and spiraling inflation throughout. What does that mean relative to the pandemic? You now have businesses saying, can I use work from home? Can I use other methodologies to try to lower my costs? But all major businesses that are starting to see these headwinds are starting to say, what can we do to lower our cost profiles? Because we're either in or probably going into a relatively nasty recession.
All right. We mentioned what can we do, and this slowdown in hiring. I saw Google has either slowed hiring or stopped new hiring. I want to go to the office of the future, anticipating that the pandemic is going to be with us for some years, or that we're looking now to build our future on the basis of assuming there will be subsequent pandemics someday, and we don't want to shut down again. Google is a large campus in Mountain View, California. Apple is a large campus, the spaceship in Cupertino, California. I believe that Meta is in either Palo Alto or East Palo Alto. Those offices, you visited them, I've not. I've just seen photographs. Are they the offices of the future? Are they evidencing green technology and concerns for carbon footprints?
Those are certainly the prototypical Silicon Valley environments where you have every amenity an employee could ever want and more, the things that dreams are made of. That being said, in many cases, they're still kind of going unused because people are working remote from the pandemic. So the real question going forward will be between that employer-employee relationship, what does the future look like? You have companies that are ordering folks back to work to say, hey, we're not as productive remotely as we need to be. We're not as creative remotely as we need to be. You have employees pushing back saying, while joblessness is increasing and layoffs are happening, hey, I still have a great ability to jump from company A to company B, especially in tech. So it's a very weird kind of period where we're still trying to find that new normal in the back to work versus remote work. It will probably continue to push more and more towards back to work over the coming months and years, but it's certainly not looking like the 5-day, 40-hour week of old.
What about green? Do you hear green talk from either your customers or your clients or your workforce? I note Bloomberg has a headline, green tech boom threatened as solar prices surge to decade high. Polysilicon prices are skyrocketing, putting solar panels on the threshold of becoming too costly. Do you hear talk that green is virtuous, but we're not ready for it because of the possible recession?
Virtuous, but difficult. And when I say that, things such as solar panels, you still see, because most solar panels are made in China, the Chinese dominate that area of the market, with increasing cost, with shipping disruptions and logistics disruptions, even those companies that say, hey, we would like to go green, and Apple and Google are among those, but can you even get solar panels today for projects because of the disruptions in those industries?
A conversation with a German professor who was asked by the IPCC, that's the UN version of climate change monitoring, and his own government to come up with recommendations of how to reduce power demands because of the conflict in Europe, because of the long-term risks of depending on one source that has left Germany vulnerable. He's recommending not just carbon footprint concerns, but also cuisine. For example, meat requires more agriculture to be grown to feed the herds that turn into meat, and therefore it is not practical to cut down on carbon footprint. Also about commuting, that has a higher carbon footprint than people working at home. Also about pandemics and concerns about hospitalization, that's part of a carbon footprint as well. Do you hear these exotic conversations, Chris, or is this still the stuff of Science and Nature magazine?
I think it's the stuff of parlor discussion in certain areas of the political spectrum. The Germans are great makers. They make automobiles, they make machines, they make tools, they make big things. And you can't do that remotely. For information workers working remote, for professionals, lawyers, maybe doctors at times, and others, that can be done remote. But when you're a manufacturing-based economy, you cannot make a big printing press. You cannot make an automobile from your bedroom while over a Zoom call. So in the German economy, there's going to have to be some new reconciliation to the situation they put themselves in relative to energy. You have very, very large German petrochemical businesses that are now saying, hey, we may need to be nationalized by the government because we cannot sustain businesses. Businesses that employ tens of thousands of people are now having such disrupted costs due to extremely high and spiraling energy rates that they may no longer be viable in the new world. And that could cause great disruption, not only for those businesses, but for all of the products that they make that go into other products. So you're looking at a very, very difficult environment there for Germany. And what does that mean for the greater economy? Remote information workers easily can work remote, but manufacturing can't.
So the future office that we're debating now is still under review continent by continent. Nothing fixed yet. Green, pandemic, workforce, commuting, all of those questions are in the air. Is that your general understanding, Chris? We have a few seconds.
All of those questions are in the air, and what does that mean to municipalities, to governments on the taxes that each of those jobs generate is a big question as well.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.